life lesson on the life of Moses. We honestly did not cover everything. I mean, he has so many chapters and so many verses in the Bible. It just did not cover everything that could have been covered. So we just couldn't. We just spent a couple years talking about it, but we just did some overviews and some helps here, and hopefully it was a blessing and a help to you. I know I enjoyed going through the life of Moses. Today we're going to talk about his approaching death, and about leaving a spiritual legacy. You know, after he's been through so much with this large group of people, he's gone from trying to deliver them to out in the wilderness to back in with Egypt and with the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, he's been through so much with this group of people. He is now knowing that he is coming to the end. He knows that he doesn't get to go to the promised land. He knows that he has led them after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They have come to the promised land again. He knows he's getting ready to pass off, and now he has a message for these people. And I think it's always important to see and understand what people say towards the end of their life. I mean, when he knows he's getting ready to go, and he has a group of people that he loves, and he has a group of people that he cares for, he has a group of people that mean so much to him, he comes to his last, and I think it's an important message. Now, it's kind of extended all the way, we say 29 to 31, actually goes all the way to 34. You have the end of this, and we'll mention some of those things, but it is more of an overview, because we're going to cover, you know, 4 to 5 chapters of the Bible. So we're going to look at things, we're not going to get deep into anything, but we're going to look at the overwhelming message that he gave to this group of people. The amazing thing is, God tells them they're going to rebel. God tells them that they're not going to do what's right. God tells them that, you know what, they're going to go off and do things that you're worried that they're going to do. Someday they're going to do those things. But before you go, I want you to tell them this message. Can you imagine if you know the future, you know that they might struggle in certain areas, that you're going to be one of those people that are like, we're going to do whatever we can to try to get them to do what's right. And that's what he's doing in this message. A lot of things we can learn from it. We just went and finished up Joshua last Wednesday, the Wednesday night before that, the 2 Wednesday nights before that. We looked at Joshua's departing message. There's some similarities, because there's some similar things that need to be said. You're going to say, Pastor, it sounds a lot like what the whole Bible talks about, and that's what it is. These are things that we're challenged with, and these are things that we need to be reminded of. So Deuteronomy 29:31 brings us to the conclusion of Moses' life. Moses was God's servant, a statesman. He had been mightily used of God to lead Israelites out of Egypt, up to the entrance of the promised land. This portion of Deuteronomy reflects on what God did in the past, and we talked about that before, even with Joshua. God did this before you in the past. You can trust him, believe in him. But also, it talks about what God did in the past, it offers a renewed anticipation for what he has promised to do in the future. The events recounted in these chapters reaffirm the great theme of Deuteronomy, and it's this: there is always a blessing for obedience and a curse for disobedience. And he tells them that, and you'll find that written there. You'll find this story at the end in his passage of scripture. You've got a choice here in your life. Your choice is for a blessing or for a curse, and we're going to look a little bit about that. So let's start off by looking at the first point: God's covenant with Israel. Now, this word covenant is a word closely related to testament. And it's a covenant God has made, and it's defined as an agreement that creates a relationship. So we remember God began a long time ago when he called Abraham out, and he made a covenant with him. He made a testament with him. He said, if you do these things, I'm going to make you a great nation. Let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter 29. And what Moses is doing at the beginning is he is reminding them, hey, look, God has a plan and a purpose for you. Look what it says in chapter 29, verse number 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Ye stand this day, all you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is within thy camp, from the hewer of the wood unto the drawer of the water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant, and this oath. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Lord, I pray you help us. Lord, I know that there's a lot of things going on in our minds and our hearts. The devil's really good at distracting us, tempting us, trying to get our attention and trying to get our mind. Help us to listen to these words that Moses says to this large group of people. And Lord, help us to understand the truths that need to be learned and help us to apply them to our lives today too. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Moses here, as it says in verse 29, he says, I want you to be successful. Look what it says there at the end of verse number 29, actually verse number 9, excuse me, chapter 29. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper and that ye do. And he said, look, there's a covenant God's made with you. He says he's going to bless you, he's going to drive out the nations, he's going to do all these things if you keep the covenant. So pastor, that word covenant is a little strange. Well, you know what, we have entered into a covenant in a sense with God. The Old Testament covenants were often signified by being sealed by sacrifice. In the New Testament, our covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ was created by his personal sacrifice on Calvary. God has promised us, if we put our faith and trust in him, he will take us home to heaven. Think about some of the verses it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews speaks much about our covenant. It says, but now you see here, Hebrews 8:6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. I'm referring to what the covenant back in the Old Testament was with the nation of Israel. And this is for all who will believe in the New Testament, and it's a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And there was the promise of the land, the promise of God providing and protecting, but our covenant with the Lord with God and the Lord Jesus Christ is one of heaven someday. Chapter 9, verse 15, Hebrews says, and for this cause he was the mediator of the New Testament. Once again, testament and covenant is very similar, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hebrews 12:24 says, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. All these different things are saying, hey, look, we have a covenant, we have an agreement, we have this with God. And this is what we can have with God. And this is what Moses is reminding them, the nation of Israel, back here in the Old Testament, the covenant was made to the Israelites. This is what God has promised you. These are the promises that God's giving you. And now in the New Testament, we have a covenant that God has made with us, and with the people who believe in him and trust in him. And there is some similarities, but there also is many different things to remember. Remember, they're under the law. Under here, Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. And I don't want to get too much into it, because I don't want to take that much time, but I want you to understand, he's reminding them, you have a covenant with God, the God of the universe, and we have a covenant. So when you hear these stories and you say, oh, he's talking to the Israelites, he's talking about somebody way back when, and he's talking about these groups of people that have been dead for thousands of years. No, they're applicable to us today, because just like they had a testament, just like they had a covenant, just like they had a relationship, we have a relationship, and we have promises from God, and we have priorities and purposes in our life, just like the nation of Israel did. So, under God's covenant, I want to remind you of something. Moses reminded them of God's covenant, and there's an important reminder here that we all can learn from and can all grow from. Verse number 9 was what? That they could prosper, and that they would grow. Keep therefore, now listen, the words of this covenant, and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. And here's the key, is that we got to keep the words of the covenant. We got to listen to what God is saying. And this is an important truth that many times we forget and that we lose out on. Are we listening to the words of God? I want you to see here, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You know, a person who is wise is going to learn, they're going to attain, they're going to listen, and that's what he's saying there. Listen to the words of God. And a number of times, Deuteronomy 5:1, 6:4, 9:1, 23, it says, Moses says, "Hear, O Israel. We often are dull of hearing, so like the children of Israel, we need constant reminders. How does this affect our covenant? Let's keep the words of his covenant. Let's keep the testament of his covenant. Let's remember these things." Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of my father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Mark chapter 12, verse 29 says, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And we know these things in James 1:22. We know that it tells us that, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his ways, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, what are you getting at? It says, you hear the word of God, but just don't be a hearer of it. Be a doer of it. And that's what Moses is saying. Obey the words of his commandments. Hear the words of his commandments. Let them sink into us. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Because if you're just a hearer, not a doer, it's like when you look up in the morning and you see yourself in the mirror, and you see it many times, most people need a little bit of work in the morning. I don't know. Not everybody might. I don't know. But I know of me. My hair goes every which way. If I walked in there looking like I did when I got up this morning, you guys would think something was wrong. Because my hair goes, that's why I wear all that hairspray, because it goes every day. It goes every which way. You would think, didn't you even look in the mirror? And that's sometimes when Moses is saying, haven't you even remembered what God has said? Why are you ignoring this part? So Moses is saying, remember. Here he says, remember, you have a covenant. God has a covenant with you. And if you're going to be successful, if you're going to prosper, you know what you're going to do? You're going to have to listen. Joshua 1:9 puts it this way. It talks about how, Joshua 8, excuse me, the book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So look, not only you're going to learn it, you're going to meditate on it, so that way you can learn to do everything that's in it, but thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How are you going to have success in the Bible? It's by listening, by remembering the covenant, by obeying the covenant that God's given us. But also, you're reminded that they have a choice. They have a choice in chapter number 30. And once again, we're just only able to highlight some of the things, but go ahead and turn to chapter number 30 here. Chapter number 30, let's look in, we'll start in verse number 1. Chapter number 30 says, "It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I commanded thee this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whether the Lord thy God hath scattered thee." He's reminding him, look, this is a choice. The good life, the life that pleases God, will be blessed by God. It's likewise true, the evil life will be cursed by God. This makes sense to us, and we believe it intellectually. But do we let our hearts be convicted or changed because we forget? You know what? Someday payday is coming. And you get to the spot, you say, look, you do have a choice. Life is really a series of decisions. It's a blessing or a curse. You say, well, Pastor, this doesn't make any sense. When I see the wicked doing all these things, and it seems like they're prospering, and I see it seems like those that are righteous are really struggling. You know what? The Bible talks about that. The Bible says, to me belong the vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. The Bible says that we should not be weary in well-doing. The Bible says that we should be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know as that your labor is not in vain. So you say, well, how do I do this? How do I know a choice? We ask it from God. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense that those that are wicked seem like they're doing all these great and giving all these great wonderful things, but those that are righteous and those that are trying to do right, they seem like they're struggling. But we have God. I wouldn't give up anything that I have in my relationship with God for all the riches of this world. It's because God gives us and blesses us in different ways, in different times, in different houses. But so, you say, well, how do I know what the right decision is? Well, those who suffered most of their life might not receive their blessings until they stand before Jesus Christ. And those that might have had so much in his life will someday possibly receive that punishment. You know, God is just, God is fair, God knows, and God keeps record. We don't have to. So what do we do? The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. See, he's telling the same thing to Moses, saying, hey, remember there's a covenant, and remember this is a choice. No one can force you to sin. No one can force you to go after this false God. No one can force you to do all these other things. This is a choice that you have. It's a choice we have too in our covenant. Hear the words of the Lord. Listen to what God's saying, and believe them. Don't just hear them, accept them, receive them into you. Believe in your heart and trust in those things. But also, don't forget, it's a choice. When we go and we have some miserable things happen, we look back at our lives and realize we've done certain things that cause us to be where we're at right now, we have a choice. But we also have a choice tomorrow. We also have a choice the next day. Are we going to live for God? That's what Moses is telling them. After all these years, after all the problems, after all the whining and the complaining and all those different things, he goes to them and he says, look, remember your covenant with God. You got a promise with God. God's not going to fail you. God's not going to disappoint you. God, he might not do things the way you think they should, but remember you have a covenant with God. You have this relationship. You have this testament. You have this with God and God Almighty. So remember, you still have a choice. Just because you have a covenant, just because you have a relationship, just because you have a testament, does not mean you're going to be successful. Does not mean everything's going to turn out rosy. Not everything's going to turn out great. Chapter 30, he says, look, they're going to, if you turn away from them, you know what? All these bad things are going to happen. But if you do listen, God's going to do all these good things. Second thing I want you to see about, not only did he talk about God's covenant with Moses, but also look at God's charge to Joshua. God's charge to Joshua. Most of us know who Joshua is. Joshua was a young man that was a faithful helper of Moses for those many, many years. God determined that Joshua, the young man who had been Moses' faithful follower, would be the next leader of his people. That's what God's choice. Let's look at chapter 31. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. Chapter 31, verses 6 and 7. Moses is talking to the people here. He's not talking to Joshua at this point in time. He's talking to the people, and he says to them, verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And once again, there's that covenant. God's made you a promise. He's going with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. If you keep your end of the covenant, God will too. And Moses called unto Joshua. He calls Joshua up. And said unto him in the sight of all Israel. So he's showing everybody Israel. This was God's man to take his place. And now he says to him, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers, to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So we see here Moses is charging the people. He says to them, look, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go. You're not supposed to be afraid. God's going with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed. You will have God with you. Then Moses charges the leader. Look at verse number 23. He says once again to Joshua. He said to Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge. And he said, be strong and of good courage. For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them. And I will be with thee. Now here's the thing is, he said, what's the big deal with that? How long has Joshua been with them? All these years. Mount Sinai. He was the one that fought the battles and the wars. They were not only just friends. They were people who were working together in ministry. They had a purpose. And now he is passing the mantle in a sense. God has called him to take his place. And he says, look, be strong and be courageous. Remember, God's promised this land. And you get the privilege. You get the opportunity to lead these people into this land. What an amazing promise. He charges him. And then God charges him. And Joshua chapter 1. We're going to take the Bible. Joshua chapter 1 is only 2 verses later. God is speaking to Joshua. And the same type of message. He says, be strong and have a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So how do you be successful? Like doing the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper once again with whithersoever thou goest. The book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. He says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So we see here the story that Moses is saying to him. He comes to the people and says, look, remember your commitment, remember your covenant, remember what God has promised you. Now listen to that, but remember, there's a choice. Just because you have a commitment and a covenant doesn't mean you're going to be blessed. You're going to have to make a choice to serve him. Then he says, let's now bring up the guy who's going to lead you next. It's going to be Joshua. And the charges to the people: first, be strong and courageous. Verses 1 to 8 talks about all the different things that Moses tells the people. Moses then charges Joshua. Then God reaffirms these things. And you say, why is this important? Because this is us. This is what we need to do for what we're doing in our life, what God's called us to do. Now God hasn't called us all to be leaders of millions of people. Thank goodness for that. I don't know about you, but that would be pretty tiring. I wouldn't want to do what Moses said. Now get to meet with God face to face, be able to see God do all those amazing things. Is that what God called me to do? Then praise the Lord. But you know what? Moses went through a lot. But what are we supposed to do? Be strong, be courageous. Understand what the Word of God is. Understand what the will of God is. Dwell in the Word of God and the will of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Then we're going to be successful. And then we get the story that he was to look forward in his courage. So this is what his charge to Joshua was. Now look forward in your courage. You know, there is a day coming. It's not over yet. The good times are coming. We get to the promised land. But also Moses tells him he was to look back in commemoration. Go and take your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Take your time. We're not going to read all this. But this is the song of Moses. God tells him to pen a song so that people can sing it and so they can learn it and so they can be reminded of it. Because they're going to forget. Why do we sing songs to praise the Lord? But it also reminds us. Why? Because we forget. You know, Jesus loves me. This I know, yes. But we need to remind that because when things go hard and things get tough, I wonder if he loves me. Yes, he loves me. Amazing grace. You know, how sweet the sound. You know, I once was blind, but now I think we need to be reminded of those things. And the Word of God is, that's what he teaches Moses. He tells Moses, put in a song. Teach this song to them. Remind them of this. And one of the things he tells them, look back at how God took care of you. Look what it says in verse number 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. So he reminds them when they get over to the promised land, and they have land they didn't work for, and they're eating the fruit that they didn't plant the trees. He says, remember this. This is where you were brought from. And it's interesting. He doesn't go all the way back to Abraham. He goes to Jacob. And Jacob, the father of the nation. And he goes to Jacob and he says, he was wandering and I brought them. And look at that last phrase. I like that. And kept him as the apple of his eye. And when we think of the apple of his eye means something that's really important, something that's really valuable. This is what Jacob was. He says, this is what I want you in the song. It's really interesting. If you read all the way through it, there's a lot of things you can learn. But he's reminding them, hey, remember what happened before in the past. Remember what God has brought you from. Don't forget the covenant. Don't forget what God has done and that God's given you a covenant. Don't forget those things. Don't forget the fact that it's by you believing and you trusting that you can be blessed. But then go, then he charges Joshua. He looks forward in the courage. He tells him, look back in the commemoration. And the next thing you see here is, the last line is God's care of Moses and the people. God's care of Moses and the people. The tribes were publicly blessed. As Moses comes to the end of his life, God uses him to place a blessing on the tribes of Israel. These blessings given to each tribe individually were to be a constant reminder of God's goodness to care for his people. So he goes back. He wants him to be courageous. How are you going to get courage? It's by remembering what God can do. God replaces weakness with strength. He replaces weakness with confirmation. I can do all things with Christ, through Christ. How do we get there? It's by remembering. And then he says, publicly, he blesses them. As Moses comes to the end of his life, God used him to be a place of blessing of the tribes. He said, God, these blessings given to each tribe were a constant reminder. It's a blessing to them that, you know, Moses is going to take the time and say these words before them. Moses is privately buried. If you want to take the Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 through 8. It talks about how Moses was privately buried. You know, he's taking care of things. God knows all these things. Why was Moses privately buried? What Moses would have rather been over to the promised land? I don't know all these things, but we do know that God is, in his wisdom and his time, doesn't want people to dig up the bones of Moses. Doesn't want people worshiping Moses. So he goes and he buries him. Let's look at verse number 5 of chapter 34. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of the sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural face abated. Now, what does that mean? Moses had the ability to continue on reading. Because of Moses' sin earlier, he's not able to enter into the promised land. He lost that privilege. He lost that right. He wasn't saying he was dying and the idea that he couldn't go any farther. God had enabled him because God's plan was for him to bring in and give Moses that opportunity. And look at verse 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. I want you to kind of get this and think about this a little bit. You know, Moses publicly blessed them. Moses here is now buried. You know what? God had a plan for Moses. God wanted to take care of Moses, but he didn't get where he wanted to be. Can you imagine going with this people for 40 years, never making it to the promised land? Seems like a bum deal. But look what it says here at the end. Look what it says here. And Joshua, verse 9, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now listen to the testimony here. And arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and all the mighty hand, and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. You know what? It gives a great testimony about Moses. You know, God's got a plan for everyone. He's got a purpose. And we don't always know, we don't always understand, but we know that God has made a covenant with us. And he charges us, be strong, be courageous, you can do these things. But then you come to the end of his life, and then he blesses these people, but God takes care of them even at the end. And then God gives him this wonderful testimony at the end. How do we apply this today? We got a testimony. We got a right relationship with God. We got an opportunity to serve him and know him. We got to listen, we got to obey, we got to be strong and courageous, and we got to remember what God has a plan for us. Moses, when he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, God says, look, because you did that, you can't go to the promised land. We got to always hold to God's word and God's plan. The Bible says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God had something special planned for the nation of Israel. Had something special planned for Moses. But in the end, Moses didn't get the chance. Many times I think we're missing out on the blessings that God has given us because we don't listen, because we don't obey, because we don't do the things that God wants us to do. Let's remember our covenant. Let's remember to be faithful too. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to open up your word. Lord, I pray you help us. So we see this 120-year-old man saying goodbye to a group of people he loved, saying goodbye to a group of people he cared for and took care of for many, many years. Millions of people. He instructs the leaders to tell them, remember you have a covenant. Remember you've made this promise with God. God's made this promise to you. Listen to his word. Obey his word. Don't just hear it. Obey it. Remember, you got a choice. When you go into these lands, you can choose to do what's right or do what's wrong. Lord, remember that there's leadership in the leadership of Joshua. And then we see, Lord, how you took care of them in the nation of Israel all throughout the promised land. Thank you, God, for the faithfulness you've given us. And Lord, what you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.